We're through 60 minutes and beyond. This is the Flames Talk Postgame Show, now available on Apple and Spotify. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Final score from PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Flames take a single point but fall 2-1 in a shootout to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Evgeny Malkin wins it in a shootout. Dylan Dubé scores his second in as many games. The Penguins have won four in a row. The Flames have stretched their point streak to 3. Hello and welcome to our Flames Talk Postgame Show, which is coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement tea, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. My name is Pat Steinberg alongside Peter Labardius and Derek Wills. Coming up on your Flames Talk postgame show, we'll hear from head coach Daryl Sutter. We'll go back to Pittsburgh, get some live postgame reaction, and a whole lot more from the Flames locker room. Your phone calls and texts in a little bit as well. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. You can get Flames Talk in your postgame on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Guys, I want to start the Flames Talk postgame show by getting right to the save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes, because this guy was the story of tonight's game. Dan Vladar gets his fourth start of the season, and he was dialed. Vladar's save of the game comes in period number 2.
To the left point, thrown to the net by Waugh. Crosby, the rebound, and he's denied by Vladar. And now Raquel is robbed by Vladar. What a sequence of saves by the Flames goaltender.
Those the saves of the game, 2 of the 38 that Dan Vladar made tonight, and that's our save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kids Sport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Lou, he was outstanding tonight.
Fabulous.
And the number one reason why the Flames able to extend their point streak and get this game to a four-round shootout.
The best Calgary Flame by a considerable margin. There were other guys that worked their tails off and helped make sure the Flames ended up with a point and even a chance to win it in the shootout. But Daniel Vladar in the first, after giving up a goal on one of the first shots he had to deal with by Jan Ruda, and the Flames had a really good second, guys. First and third, not so much. And that's when you need your goalie to... He didn't win them a game tonight, but he certainly grabbed them a point.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Best game he's played this season, I think that's safe to say. Maybe the best game he's played as a member of the Flames. He did have a couple of shutouts in his first season with the team, his rookie season in the National Hockey League, but he was outstanding tonight. And I think it's so important and so valuable to have a backup goaltender who can give you a chance to win, even when he's not playing on a regular basis. And for Dan Vladar, tonight was his first appearance in almost 2 weeks. The last time he played was on November 10th. So, you know, that was 13 days ago. So he could have been rusty, but he wasn't. And it's a good thing that he wasn't, because the Penguins came out flying and they were, you know, probably on cloud nine after that wonderful pregame ceremony to recognize 1,000 career NHL games for Evgeny Malkin, reached that milestone on the road in Chicago against the Blackhawks on Sunday. So a welcome home of sorts back to Pittsburgh for the Penguins future Hall of Famer tonight. And, you know, they came out flying, and Dan Vladar had to be sharp from start to finish, and there were a lot of grade A chances. Pat, I'd love to know what the scoring chances were tonight, because I think the Penguins had a plethora of opportunities to kind of run away and hide with this hockey game, and the biggest reason why they didn't was number 80 in net for the Flames. He was outstanding.
Lou, is number 80 your player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic?
No, he's not, actually.
He's not?
No.
Okay,
no.
Who are you going to go with?
I know who he's going with.
I mean, he deserves...
Oh, he's not... Drop a zero?
You can drop a zero.
Put a decimal in between there?
Listen, Daniel Vladar was for sure the best player. He gave his team every opportunity to win a game, get a point, but... Four shot blocks tonight by Chris Tanev. A few in very game-changing type scenarios. And this guy will do anything. He is as selfless a player as I have ever watched. All he cares about is one thing. What do I have to do to help my team win? And He took two tonight that would have ended most nights for a lot of players in the league. Not tonight.
And Wes Gilbertson, who is on the ground in Pittsburgh, saw him actually go to the dressing room late in the first period after blocking a shot. There is no way he was 100% to start the game, and he's further from 100% to end the game after just doing, like you said, Lou, whatever it takes to try to help his team win, or in the case of tonight's game, pick up a point.
Chris Tanev added four more saves in this one tonight, and he is your player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. For HeartFit assessments and proven treatments not available at your doctor's office, visit heartfit.ca. Dan Vladar is going to join us here in just a few minutes. He'll be joining us on your Flames Talk postgame show following a Flames 2-1 shootout loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins this evening at PPG Paints Arena. Calgary now 2-1-1 through four games of this six-game road trip that continues on Friday and Saturday. And Derek, I would suggest that, you know, they got a back-to-back coming up Friday and Saturday. Friday in Washington, Saturday in Carolina. Don't know which win they go with, but Dan has certainly earned himself another start on this trip.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, I mean, we could sit here and spend the next 24 hours guessing who Daryl Sutter is going to go with on Friday and who he's going to go with on Saturday. I have no idea. I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to Jacob Markstrom on Friday. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to Dan Vladar a couple of days from now, just to kind of hope that he picks up where he left off as the Flames' best player in this hockey game against the Penguins tonight. So we'll see. But I feel pretty comfortable and confident saying that each guy will get a game on what's a tough turnaround, because not only do you play a couple of afternoon games, but you've got some travel going from Washington to Raleigh to wrap up the road trip as well. So, you know, I think that was an important game for Dan Vladar because, A, he hasn't played very much this season. But, B, you know, that's got to build his confidence. And when you looked at his numbers, not off to, at least statistically, the type of start that he wanted to be. Now, with that said, Lou, and Pat and I talked about it on the Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable today, I think the numbers are a little bit misleading with Vladar when you factor in that in his first four games of the season, he played against teams, three of them in the top seven in goals for, all four of them in the top half of the league in goals for per game. And I think he gave the Flames a chance to win at least three of those four hockey games, and that's kind of how I judge a goaltender.
Yeah, I'm absolutely no different. Mm-hmm. And tonight he was splendid. He had a splendid offseason, a terrific preseason. Looked like he was ready to take another step. And tonight, when his group really needed him in a very crucial point in a road trip, you know, now the Flames have points in three straight on this trip with an opportunity. Really wanted them to come home at no less than probably 3-2-1. And now they certainly have an opportunity to mm-hmm. do that.
By the way, Derek, you asked about those chances mm-hmm. and shot attempts and such. When it was all said and done, actually Calgary, after 40 minutes of play, was just head above water when it comes to 5-on-5 shot share and that metric of possession. But the Penguins blew them out of the water in the third. So Pittsburgh finishes above the tread water line. Flames at 47.6%. So final 5-on-5 shot attempts were 54-49 Pittsburgh, and pretty dramatic in the third. Final high danger chances, 14-7 in favor of the Penguins, 9-6 at 5-on-5. So Vladar was busy, and he also was having to face a lot of quality opportunities, as we thought. The eye suggested tonight as well.
Yeah, and you know what? When you're the better of the two teams in one of the three periods and you pick up a point, chances are your goaltender got it for you, and he did tonight.
Yeah. And I'd have a tough time, in all sincerity, coming up with seven real hard moments for Tristan Jarry.
Yep. He a lot of outside and having to a lot of one and duns in the first and third period.
Second period, they got to the net a little bit more. Yep. But there was no question. For me, it's about 3-1 at least in terms of chances for me that had an opportunity to score.
Marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We were focusing on Backlund's line and how important they might be in this one tonight. Lou, how'd you feel that line went about their business tonight?
You know what? I thought they were pretty solid, Pat. I wouldn't say it was an elite night for them by any stretch of the imagination. I felt bad a little bit for Jonathan Huberdeau tonight, because until the third period and Didn't feel like he had the puck on his stick very much, and you just wanted him to have a couple more opportunities. But they were solid. You know, listen, when you play against that team, and they played very well tonight, they did a good job. They did a good job. I wouldn't say they ran away with anything, but you tell me what Calgary Flame line did.
Yeah.
I didn't see one.
Derek, one thing I will say, though, in kind of picking up on that, boy, the offensive confidence and kind of the magic moments that you're seeing from number 10 are getting more and more plentiful as we go along. There was that one stretch in the third period where I almost fell out of my chair two or three times. He put one pass between the legs. He made a spin pass. You can tell Huberdeau is feeling significantly more comfortable, and he's just doing things that look more like the guy that, you know, was a star for Florida for a decade.
Well, when he was speaking to members of the media earlier on this season-long six-game road trip, he talked about the difference in the style that the Panthers play, which is what he was accustomed to for a decade, and the style the Flames play. He called the Panthers an East-West team, and he called the Flames a North-South team. That's a big change for anybody. And I really think that him thinking about what he should be doing, where he should be, really did paralyze him early in the season. And maybe he wasn't overthinking it in the preseason when he made some of those head-turning plays, but early in the regular season, you could just tell that he was lost out there. And the change in system and the change in style is something that it took a little while for him to adapt to, but you can tell that he's way more comfortable. He's way more confident right now. And, you know, he's playing with a little bit more pace. As a matter of fact, he's probably playing with a lot more pace. It's tough to play with pace when you're overthinking it, because as Jason LaBarbera put so well when he joined us at a postgame show two or three weeks ago, it really can paralyze you, and I think it did paralyze Jonathan Huberdeau earlier this season. But, you know, I wouldn't say they sat him out for three games. He was banged up and missed three games. And maybe that was a bit of a reset for him. Gave him a chance to watch the game and to see it from a different perspective and to maybe get a better grasp of the system and the style that the Flames do play. And then he comes back and in his first game back, scores a goal. That had to take a weight off of his shoulders. And ever since then, he's been making plays. Lou, I thought early in the season, he was trying to force plays instead of just making the plays that were there. Now he's making the plays that are there, and some of them have been pretty dazzling.
I'm going to just throw one thing out at both of you to get your reaction on this whole topic, because I don't really think anybody's mentioned it. Do you think, in a lot of ways, players are still adapting to the fact that they're getting pucks that they've never gotten from other people before?
Yep.
I don't think we've talked about that enough. I really don't. And I don't want to... You know, listen, I'm his biggest supporter, and I have no trouble saying that, and I'm going to continue to be until I see different. But I see a lot of times where guys look like they're surprised that they're going to get pucks on their stick. Mm-hmm. And when you're surprised and you haven't had some – Johnny Gaudreau made good plays, but he doesn't make the kind of – Johnny was a great what I would call area passer. This guy is going to get you a puck – like, the reason we get wowed, and Pat, I saw it, both your reactions, I felt exactly the same. I'm getting more used to it with every game.
Yeah.
He gets himself in what looks like a bit of a mess, and the next thing you know, it's over one guy's stick, through one guy's feet, and on somebody's tape. Mm-hmm. And so you can have the best playmaker in the world. It's kind of like in football. You can have a guy that makes all the great throws and throws it through seams, but if you don't have guys necessarily ready to catch it, that takes some time, I think, too. And I'm not defending them. I'm just saying it would be hard for guys because you just don't see some of the plays that he makes.
And the other thing is, and we've talked about this in the roundtable, Pat, early in the season, Elias Lindholm was fighting it a little bit offensively. And I think one of the reasons why is because he was centering Jonathan Huberdeau and they were trying to figure each other out. But also, because Huberdeau was probably overthinking it and not moving his feet, he was a stationary target for the other team, which would allow other teams to focus more on the two guys he was playing with. and Elias Lindholm and Tyler Toffoli, and to take them away, because there were a number of times where Huberto would make a nice pass into the slot, which was that soft area that Elias Lindholm killed other teams in all of last season when he scored 40-plus goals. And he'd have two or three guys draped on his back. He wasn't able to shoot the puck. Mm-hmm. Now that Huberto's moving around and teams can't just focus on taking away the other four Flames that are on the ice, I think it's opened things up a little bit, and we get to see what a great passer he is, and we get to see what a great shooter his line mates are, and that's something we probably don't talk enough about with Michael Backlund. He can really fire the puck, and you've got Blake Coleman, who's doing a lot of the heavy lifting on that line defensively, so those three guys have been good together. I'm still not convinced that Huberto and Lindholm won't work. I think it will work. Both players are playing a lot better now than they were when they were together on a line earlier this season. But you know, I think there are about a million ways you can explain Jonathan Huberto's slow start to the season. But one thing that I know we would all agree on, it was only a matter of time before he figured it out. You talked about some of those passes that he makes, Lou. His vision is probably second to none in this league.
It's silly.
And he has an incredibly high hockey IQ as well. He's figured it out, and he's getting better by the game.
Flames fall 2-1 in a shootout tonight in Pittsburgh as the Penguins get the extra point in this one this evening. Dan Vladar, the story, 38 stops to get the Flames that single point as we are underway on your Flames Talk postgame show. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960 to you in just a second. But as the Flames are now two-thirds of the way done on this six-game season-long road trip, they've got Washington on Friday. Some final thoughts from you two boys, starting with you, Derek.
Well, they did well to pick up a point tonight, and I thought it could be a challenge for them with the Penguins paying tribute to Evgeny Malkin before the game. You know, he's a future Hall of Famer, played in his 1,000th NHL game on the road in Chicago in a win over the Blackhawks on Sunday. So this was the city of Pittsburgh's opportunity and the Penguins' organization's opportunity to pay tribute to number 71, and they did an outstanding job with their pregame ceremony, and the Penguins came out flying tonight. And if not for Dan Vladar, the Flames probably would have been too far behind in this hockey game through 20 minutes to catch up and get a point, let alone two. So I thought the Flames, thanks in large part to their goaltender, did a decent job weathering the Penguins storm in the first period. I like the Flames game a lot better in the second period. And Dylan Dubé scores for a second straight game, which was great to see. He ties it at one. Neither team tallies in the third. The game goes to overtime. The Flames take a really iffy penalty. With some of the stuff that wasn't called tonight, that penalty that Elias Lindholm took left me shaking my head, but seconds before that, was a missed high stick on Nikita Zadorov.
That is a penalty all day long on the high stick on Jeff Carter in front of the net.
So that is probably, and they'll never say it, but that's probably a makeup call. Still tough to swallow, but the Flames get through that penalty kill and get to the shootout, and the two teams had a tough time putting the puck in the net during the first 65 minutes of the hockey game, but there were five goals scored between the two teams in the shootout. But even though Dan Vladar didn't out-duel Tristan Jarry in that shootout, he did a hell of a job tonight helping the Flames pick up a point. And you know what? You pick up a point on the road in Pittsburgh against a good Penguins team, you take it, especially when you don't bring your A game. So on to Washington it is. Flames off to a decent start on this road trip with a 2-1-1 record, and we'll see if they can pick up two more points against the Capitals on Friday afternoon.
Well, you need great goaltending certain nights to get you through, and the Flames got a wonderful goaltending performance. They got a gutsy performance from some other players tonight named Tanev, and he was not alone in that regard. And my last statement is this, Pat, on this particular night. The Flames, I thought, on their first trip east, played three really good games and got 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
They've just played three games in a row that I'm not so sure that I feel like they've played better in those games, and they have 5 out of 6 in their last three.
Yep. It all evens out over 82 games, doesn't it?
It kind of really does.
Yeah.
All right, gents. See you Friday.
Sounds good.
Au revoir.
As Derek Wills and Peter Labardius sign off on this Wednesday night, the Flames fall 2-1 in a shootout to the Pittsburgh Penguins at PPG Paints Arena. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. Lots more to get to. We'll hear live from Dan Vladar. He'll join us from Pittsburgh in just a few minutes. We'll hear from head coach Daryl Sutter and a whole lot more. Our Flames Talk postgame show is coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Final score, 2-1 in a shootout, Pittsburgh over Calgary. Lots more to get to on your Flames Talk postgame. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast. This is Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, it's Haley Salvian from The Athletic. I host Hockey Central 960 from Tuesday to Friday at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. For a look at the latest on your Calgary Flames and NHL news, go click and subscribe to the Hockey Central 960 podcast. While you're there, please rate and review the show.
Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
Continue breaking down the game, plus take your calls and texts. This is the Flames Talk Postgame Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan or on demand wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Flames fall 2-1 in a shootout in Pittsburgh as we continue on your Flames Talk Postgame Show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Let's go back to Pittsburgh right now where goaltender Dan Vladar is standing by for some postgame reaction. Dan, really appreciate the time. It sure did feel like your group fought hard for that single point. How'd you feel about tonight?
I mean, obviously a tight game, you know, going into the third 1-1, that was kind of our game plan. And then, you know, we end up all the way in shootouts and it was just a lottery. But, I mean, all the heads for the guys, how they played the OT because they were blocking shots. Basically the whole game, they were helping me out a lot. Obviously I didn't make a start for 2 weeks. So it was a challenge for me. But as I said, the guys helped me a lot, so I got to appreciate that a lot.
Dan, as you said, it was your first start in 2 weeks, and you have a 38-save performance. How did you feel in this one tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I felt good. You know, obviously, didn't play for 2 weeks, so I really wanted to have a good start. It didn't work out really well for me. Second shot went in, but, you know, right after, as I said, like, guys were just playing really well in front of me, and they were just helping me out, like, boxing out guys, creating all the rebounds and stuff. So as I said, tie game, and sucks that we didn't get the outcome.
Dan, you talked about the second shot going in, and you don't allow another one for the rest of regulation and overtime. Just what goes through your head? How do you reset after one goes in on you early?
I mean, you know, as a goalie, you just got to let it go right away. You know, you just got to focus on the next shot because it doesn't really matter what happens before. You always got to be ready for the next one, and that was just my main focus, just to, you know, I just tried every single time to stop every single one, and you know, if it didn't work out, I just got to reset real quick, and then I always try to give our team a chance to win.
Dan, final question for you. You talked about your teammates blocking shots and helping you out. Can you just talk a little bit about those two or three shot blocks from Chris Tanev and how much they meant to the group tonight?
I mean, you know, especially as a goalie, you appreciate those players. You know, like you guys saw it in overtime. Z had a two or three, and Tanny, same thing. You know, so, you know, the first thing what you do after a game, you walk up to them and you just say thank you. And, you know, they're always there for you. And, you know, and you're just trying to, if they ended up making, like, some mistake or, like, a puck bounces over their stick, you need to be there for them, you know, to kind of pay them back. So, you know, that's just hockey is a team sport, and that's all we do. And I think it's been working for us really well so far. So we just got to keep this going.
Dan, congratulations on fighting hard for that single point. Thanks so much for doing this tonight.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That is Dan Vladar. He joins us from Pittsburgh in PPG Paints Arena as the Flames fall 2-1 in a shootout to the Penguins. Vladar, outstanding. I know he wasn't named the first star in the building, but that was a first star performance from number 80 tonight. Let's go from Dan Vladar right to head coach Daryl Sutter, get his assessment on tonight's game. He just finished speaking in Pittsburgh. It's time for head coach Daryl Sutter.
What was your assessment of that one?
Really good effort by our players. Proud of them.
What about the penalty kill, specifically in that overtime?
Yeah, Vladdy. A couple blocks there, too. I think Tanny and Z helps to have big feet.
How about Vladar was spectacular tonight?
Yeah, he's got to make saves. That's what backup goalie's got to do, is come in and try and steal your game. He got us one.
Seemed like a couple of real good shifts, hard-working shifts that eventually led to your game-tying goal.
Yeah, I think the second period we had a real big effort trying to forecheck, get pucks back. Did a really good job. You knew they were going to be fired up after the ceremony and all that. And they are. It's tough. I've been coming here a long time. Right? Tough to win in Pittsburgh. Tough to get points.
Tough to beat a team that rolls out a Hall of Famer as their fourth shooter.
Yeah. But you know what? That's a little bit of, that's the best part about our game. Honesty of the game, right? Okay. They have a night for him. He's the guy who ends up winning it for him. So it's good for him. Their centerman gave our centerman a couple of them had a rough night on our side.
The hockey fan in you does see the beauty of what happened tonight at the end, not for your team.
That's awesome. See them guys, right? You don't play them very often. You get to see them guys like that are special players.
Okay.
Yep, you bet, you guys.
There you go. That is head coach Daryl Sutter just wrapping up from PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, where the Flames drop a 2-1 shootout decision to the Penguins this evening. Daryl with his assessment on the game on this Wednesday night. What's going on? It's Pat Steinberg along with you. This is your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Phone line's open at 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. To the text line we go. Lots more to get to as we continue along, though. More looks inside the Flames locker room. Lots of them still to come as we get to your texts and phone calls now, though. Starting on the text line, this from Jay in Silverado. Pat, from the beginning of the season, I knew the Flames would have trouble scoring. That's still evident. I'm curious the goals for and against in their wins versus their losses. It seems like they're losing a lot of games with only one goal for and winning games with 45 goals. That being said, I don't like it. I wish the Flames would make a trade for a bona fide right winger, as I don't think Tyler Toffoli is the answer on the top line. I understand it's hard to make trades, but I want it for Christmas. This reads, Vladar stole a point for the Flames. For 3+ years, Hanifin was supposed to take the next step. He hasn't. Has he reached his peak as a defenseman? If he hasn't made that jump yet, I'm not sure he can. Well, it depends what that jump is. He may have reached his peak. I mean, I'm not quite ready to go there. He's what, 25 years old. You know, I think defensemen, that peak seems to be maybe a little closer to 27 than it is for forwards, who are maybe a little closer to 24, 25 sometimes. But I don't think that Hanifin has necessarily peaked, but if he has, he's peaked as a really good defenseman. Like, no, he may not be an elite number one, but he's a really solid, at worst, second pair defenseman who can play on a top pair. He can give you 22 to 25 a night. He's on a great cap hit. So even if he has peaked, he's still a good defenseman, and he still helps the Flames win hockey games. So I don't know necessarily what that's pointing towards, but I don't think Hanifin is going to be a bona fide number one in this league, but if he can be what he is for the most part for the rest of his career, or at the very least the rest of this contract, I think that that's probably okay. This from Smashley, who says, Dan the man is the absolute game saver tonight. He played absolutely amazing. Quite proud of him with his first start in 2 weeks. Yeah,
November 10th to November 23rd between starts, and Vladar with his two best starts of the season in those last two. This from Mike. Entertaining game tonight, Pat. Only fitting that it ended the way it did for Pittsburgh and Malkin. I'm not going to say Dan Vladar stole the team a point, but this may have been the best performance by a Flames goaltender this season. I hope it finally shows Darryl that it doesn't have to be Markstrom or bust. Vladar can be an answer in goal, and he needs to get more starts. I agree. I do think it is the best goaltending start we've seen from a Flames goalie so far this year. I also think that Vladar should get more starts. I'm not saying I'm writing off on Markstrom. I've just felt that way since the beginning of the year. And definitely, with a back-to-back to finish off this road trip, I think Vladar deserves at least another start here. This from Will in BC. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was probably the best goaltending I've seen this year so far. Didn't like the first goal against, but after that, I thought Vladar gave the Flames what they needed. He was 974 in a shootout loss. That's what this team needs to do. The other goalie was not bad either, but if the Flames had to lose, I thought it was fitting Malkin got the winner. I predict a win in Washington. And as for the point on the first goal, I didn't mind it. Like, it wasn't like a grade A-plus opportunity, but it was a soft play in the neutral zone from Mangiapane. It led to a fast rush. They try to change because Mangiapane needs to get that deep in the neutral zone. It doesn't go deep. Flames start a change, and then because of that, Pittsburgh's got all the room in the world to walk in. Carter makes a great play to drop, then drive, which opens up a huge lane for Jan Ruda. Like, it wasn't a bad goal, in my opinion, at all. Because when you get any NHL player walking in with that type of head of steam, it's going to be a tough one to stop. And he walked into the mid slot and absolutely wired it. So I don't sit there and say, oh, that's one that Vladar should have back. Maybe you do, and that's fine. I don't look at it that way because I saw it way more as a breakdown as I did a bad goal or a questionable goal or anything like that. Raj says, I'm a huge Backlund fan, but I'd like to see Huberdeau with Lindy or Kadri again. Plus, I think Mangiapane could really benefit from playing with Backlund again. Why not Huberdeau along with Mangiapane and Backlund? They found something there on that line. And I also thought the Lindholm line with Ruzicka and Toffoli was really good tonight. So I don't want to break that one up either. I'm fine with the lines the way they are going into the game against Washington. This from Andrew. Pat, Dan Vladar will be hard on himself for the shootout loss, but it was not on him at all. The forward group really let him down, not being able to generate any high-danger chances and goals. Questions, in your opinion, who's the most consistent Flames forward? Who should the team look to get them back on the score sheet? That's from Andrew. The answer to both, where's number 28? And then followed closely, that'd be Elias Lindholm, followed closely by Toffoli and Backlund this year in terms of that. This says, Pat, it's too bad the Flames couldn't get 2 points tonight, but that game was just a hard battle by both teams. Honestly, a good road game by Calgary. The slow start kind of killed the first period, but after that, they battled hard. That was Vladar's best start of the season so far. He settled in very nicely after the disallowed goal and looked calm, and his positioning looked good. I'd also say it's yet another game where Huberdeau looked good. Seems like he's getting better and better. I hope Vladar gets one of the upcoming back-to-backs, but unfortunately seems to like playing the same goalie on back-to-backs for some reason. Well, this is the second back-to-back of the trip. Now, they did go Markstrom for the New York, New Jersey back-to-back, but there's a couple things there. No travel in between, like next to no all bus travel, and Vladar playing his former team in Boston was looming. So that one was a little bit more understandable. If Markstrom got both of these, I'd really be scratching my head hard. So we'll see what they end up doing. This says, Pat, I'm typing this during the second intermission. Been a great game so far, but I just don't get how you aren't seeing Mangiapane fall over unprovoked 7 times a game for his whole NHL career. All players fall over, but it's so frustrating watching this guy bail over and over. That season last year was the best of his career, and his contract's too expensive for that year over it. Goodness. I mean, I don't understand. There's always been this thing about, oh, he's falling too much. Okay. I mean, look, the one thing I will say is that Mangiapane has not been anywhere near good enough this season for Calgary, but it's not because he's falling too much. There's always been a few people that text in and say, he needs to stay on his feet. Okay. Like, I don't know. He still scored 35 last year, not staying on his feet, I guess, a lot. I don't see that criticism. You know, do I see that it happens? Yes. Am I critical of it? No, that's the difference for me. Great stuff on the text line, though, at 960-960. To the phone lines we go at 403-240-4444. Flames fall 2-1 on a shootout to the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is your Flames Talk postgame show on a Wednesday night. Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. 403-240-4444 is the phone number. Ben, you're up first on the Flames Talk postgame. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Pat. How's it going?
I'm good.
Just wanted to kind of talk about, you know, Huberto with two shootout goals in the last three games. He's looking a lot more comfortable out there. Do you think we'll continue to see this upward trend with him?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I think that, I mean, I even just watch him since he's come back from that three-game stint on the shelf. Like, he's been a significantly more confident, more comfortable player. So, yes, I absolutely do. He's too smart, talented. You know, he sees the game too well. He's got too much raw skill. I mean, that's why we kept on saying, be patient. But the guy's too good. So, yes, I do think that this is a continued upward trend for him. And I know he hasn't scored a point in two of the last three, but he set up a huge goal in the game against Florida by creating a turnover. And in this one, and he scored shootout goals in two of the last two shootouts. And tonight, he was... There were times when it's like, okay, that guy's the most dangerous player on the ice. So, yeah, Huberto's definitely on an upward trend, and I do believe that we will see that continue, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like Sutter, like especially there in the third period, he looked like he kept giving Huberto the ice time. Huberto was seeing the ice a lot. You know, he looked more confident with his hands around guys. So, you know, I really hope he continues that trend. I've been waiting for it.
Yeah.
Just another question for you there. Do you think Gilbert's kind of the answer the Flames have been looking for as far as that defenseman goes?
As a number six, no. Maybe as a number seven.
Yes, that's fair. And then just kind of one more question for you here. You know, Kadri with a really hot start this season. What have you thought of him on this road trip here?
Of Kadri?
Yeah.
I thought he was better tonight. I thought he was actually really good tonight. But over the last 7-8 games prior, I think his game's fallen off a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree. Do you think that has to do with, you know, Sutter kind of shuffling the lines around, or?
I think that could be part of it. I think there's the number one thing, though, for me, and I do think that's part of it. I think he was riding a pretty big adrenaline high, emotional high, whatever, coming into the season, won a Stanley Cup. Now he's with a brand new team that's invested $49 million into him and said, hey, you're a focal point. You're a core member. For the first time in his career, a team has said, you are a part of our, like, we're building around you. And so you have that emotion and adrenaline to start the year. And I think that carried him through the first 6-7 games when he was unquestionably their best player in a lot of ways. And then what I think has happened is that much like Huberto, much like Uyghur, there's still a big time adjustment going on here when it comes to what this coaching group wants from their players, what they want away from the puck, from their centers, all that type of stuff. So once that adrenaline high maybe comes down a little bit and you settle into a season, you get into that learning curve situation. And I think there's a little bit of that going on. I really do.
Yeah, exactly. And I still do believe that this team we have now is a better playoff team than the team last year, and that the success will come. It's just going to take adjustment, and that I'm happy with what happened this offseason, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the year.
And you know, like, I'm with you. I think I agree. I think that is where I know that is where I am. I believe they're going to be a tougher out in the playoffs as well. Obviously, we won't know until they get there. But just the way this team is constructed, I believe that they are in line to be a little bit more difficult to play come the postseason. And they got to get there. I think they will. But, you know, I'm curious to see if that is the case. And if having a guy like Kadri and adding to your blue line with a guy like Uyghur, I'm just curious to see if that is indeed the case.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Pat. Well, I won't take up any of your more time tonight, but I appreciate you talking with me.
Great stuff, Ben. You have yourself a great night.
Yeah, you too.
Got a few phone lines open. If you want to call, you won't get a busy signal at 403-240-4444. Flames lose 2-1 on a shootout to Pittsburgh. This is your Flames Talk postgame show as we welcome Dan to the program. What's up, Dan?
What's up? It's your boy Wheels, actually.
Wheels, what's going on?
Not much. Just Adam and I left the game in Pittsburgh here, so we were actually in attendance tonight, which was kind of fun. We did this whole Pennsylvania roadie. So,
have you enjoyed the city of Pittsburgh to this point? It's a pretty sneaky good spot.
It's a sneaky good spot. We had some Bramante Brothers tonight.
Yes, good. You went to Bramante Brothers. Just one. Okay, you did the right. You did the right call. You went to Bramante Brothers. I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, we did. We had to. Absolutely every Pittsburgh resident we spoke to was like, because when I was like, what's one spot I got to hit? Everybody said Bramante Brothers. So we hit it in the arena kiosk tonight, actually.
Okay.
Which was a sneaky good move on my end, I think.
Yep. No, I think you made the right call. Well played. Where did you boys go? Like, where did you go for a cheesesteak in Philly?
Actually, we pulled the in arena move there too.
Okay. Who did it there?
I can't even remember this
okay.
time.
It was just on the menu. It didn't say who it was.
Okay.
From.
Okay. I remember when Boomer and I went for the draft in Philly, and Boomer did all the research and took us to a spot that was way out of downtown, and it was the right choice.
Oh, yeah? What place was that? If I remember,
don't even remember what it was called now. I got to text him, and I don't remember where he ended up taking us, but he did the research and nailed it. I remember that.
Nice. Yeah, so this is... This is NHL past and present arena 13 and 14 for me, so this was a pretty good trip.
What'd you think of the game?
Hell of a game. I thought the boys played fairly well. There was nobody I was like super disappointed in. I thought this might have been the best goaltending performance I've seen from a Flame all year. I thought Vladar. I don't want to say stole a point because that's not where I'm at. But
I think it was pretty close, though.
He was really solid at times when he needed to be.
I thought it was pretty close to him stealing a point, especially in that third period.
It was pretty close.
He was good all night. But that third period, he had to be dialed.
And he certainly was. But we've had a good little fun roadie here. We did the whole Pennsylvania stretch, and I thought I'm really liking the way Huberto's playing right now. I sense that they're much like you were saying earlier. There's an upward trend there, and I sense good things to come. So.
Yeah, I definitely think it's moving in the right direction. And I think the more that he does things that work and the more that he's dangerous, just the more confident he's going to get. And the more confident he gets, the more points are going to come. And I think that's exactly what we're talking about with Huberto. So that's been, you know, for me, that might be the fact that they're 2-1-1 is definitely positive. But the fact that it's been this good for Huberto, that might be the biggest positive for me on this road trip so far.
Yeah, for me, it's that and Dubé. Dubé's been excellent as of late. And
yep.
Nice to see him put a couple in back-to-back games. And I think if we can get a couple of the boys kind of trending that way at the same time, I think we're headed the right direction, certainly.
Yeah, I think that they're definitely, you know, that tonight wasn't perfect, but I think that they are They seem like they have snapped out of that funk when they had lost 7 in a row, so that's definitely good news.
Absolutely.
How did the crowd come across on TV?
How did the crowd come across? Really good.
Yeah.
It looked like a hot atmosphere tonight.
That was the most fun I've ever had at a game in a long time.
It really was. It was a hot crowd in there. I expected it to be the reverse in Philly, where it was going to be a hot crowd in Philly and a kind of more dead crowd in Pittsburgh, and I found the exact opposite of that, actually. Philly wasn't completely dead. I mean, it was, they were into it, but I don't know whether it was the whole Malkin 1,000 game thing or not, but man, it was fun atmosphere in there tonight.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys could do that.
Yeah, it was really special to be there for Malkin's night too. That was really cool to be there for.
Yeah, that was neat. Well, even if you cheer for the Flames, it was pretty cool to see Malkin.
Yeah,
Malkin wrap it up.
Night.
Yep. All right, boys, get out of here.
All right.
Heading back to Calgary tomorrow, so we'll see you at the Dome.
Okay, fly safe, boys.
See you later.
See you guys. Wheels from the Dome. Adam as well. Adam, one of our frequent longtime listeners, joining us from Pittsburgh, where they saw the Flyers and the Penguins play against the Flames. As the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. As we continue along on your Flames Talk post-game show, my name is Pat Steinberg. Let's say hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man.
Good, man. I just want to say... it was really, really cool listening to that last call. You know, being someone who lives in the Eastern, you know, transplanted to Calgary and who lives in the Eastern United States, and being able to, in the last, you know, 5 years, take out COVID, of course, go to these different road games to watch the Flames play. If you're able to ever do it, to anybody that's listening, absolutely do it. It's a very, very cool experience to do something like that. And I've been to as many NHL buildings as those two gentlemen have, but I've been to my fair share, and I plan to do more in the future once my work schedule slows down. So it was really cool to hear that call.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So I thought Vladar was unreal tonight. And for me, he did steal a point for this game. I thought Pittsburgh was quite a bit better tonight. I think Calgary was good in the second period, but I thought Pittsburgh definitely carried the play through the first period and the third period. And, yeah, I thought Vladar was excellent, and I definitely hope they play him. I'm sure they will play him one of these two games. But, I've been beating this drum for a long time. I think he should get more playing time. I understand that he's the backup, but he should get more playing time. So we'll see how that goes. But kudos to Vladar.
Yeah, I would be stunned if he doesn't play one of the next. Like, I would actually be stunned if he doesn't play one of the next two.
Yeah, so would I. There's two defensemen I want to talk about here, Patty. The first one is Nikita Zadorov. I think he has been excellent this year, and honestly, I think he's been our best defenseman overall so far. He's really been awesome. And you look at the contract he signed, which is pretty much an identical salary that he was making prior, correct?
Actually, a little less.
A little less.
Yeah.
Is that not, like, again, you know, we're not that far into the season, but so far, is that not a great value contract for the way he's playing?
Oh, yeah, it's been great. And it's been one of the, you know, really good stories of the season. Now, I know that Darryl called him their best defenseman. I'm still going to go with Tanev as to who I think's been their best defenseman so far this year. And I think that you can just see how much he means to them when he comes back into a lineup like he did a few games ago. But no, Zadorov's been really good, and you know, for what he's been asked to do, I think he's been better than anyone could have expected. He's carried over a great finish to last year where he was outstanding in the playoffs, carried it into a great preseason and training camp, and he's, you know, he's playing a top four role right now for him because they've needed him to. So good on him. I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing from Nikita Zadorov, and I'm at this point, I'm interested to see what they do with the D pairings because Zadorov, Uyghur have been pretty good together. So, you know, I think there's an interesting decision to be made as Stone comes back into the lineup in terms of how they want to go about their defense pairings.
I agree. And in fact, in the beginning of the season, I was personally hoping that I would see Zadorov and Uyghur play together because I kind of like that dynamic. They're different types of defensemen, but I figured they would be a good fit. So I would like to see more of that pairing. And then to segue, you mentioned him. The second defenseman I was going to talk about is Chris Tanev, who is the ultimate warrior. I mean, sometimes I watch him play, Patty, and I wonder if this guy is half man, half machine. Like, like a cyborg or something. Mr. Lombardi has said it perfectly post game. He said some of the shots that this man blocks would finish a normal human being, like would finish a normal defenseman for the rest of the game.
Well, he's gonna go down as one of the players that I have witnessed play and watch live. He's gonna go down as the guy with, I don't think there's any question, pain tolerance number one. Like so I know Lou said this, and I've been told the exact same thing. Like, this dude's pain tolerance and ability to play through is borderline inhuman what he's capable of doing. And so it shouldn't surprise us what he does, but it should, because, you know, most other humans aren't able to do that. And so I think about the injury that he played through in the final, like, 20 games of the 56-game season, when he had, you know, basically that crushed sternum and he played through it. Now, Travis Hamonic is a tough-as-nails hockey player. That same injury kept him on the shelf for, like, a few weeks. Tanev didn't miss a game. And I'm not trying to say Hamonic's not tough, because he is. But, like, Tanev's at a different level.
100%. And even the playoff series last year, man. Like, shit, the guy, let's be honest, under any other circumstances, there's no way that guy's coming back to play a hockey game. And he played that injury he sustained in the Dallas series, and to return for the Edmonton series because they needed him that badly, and to play with basically his arm hanging off his shoulder blade. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. All the respect in the world for that player. Just, so happy to have him. It's easy to say now, but that's one guy. I don't understand what Vancouver was thinking about bringing that guy back. But, you know, their losses are gains. So I'm very, very pleased to have that. And I agree with you. I don't think I have seen anyone play the sport with that kind of pain tolerance for my money. So he's a pleasure to watch night in and night out. And you just hope, you know, something doesn't happen where he has to miss more time, because it's the truth. When he's not in this lineup, it greatly, greatly affects the team. He's that much of a difference maker back there. So, you know, you hope he can stay tough, and you hope that he can stay healthy enough to play and play at an effective level.
Yep.
All right, my man. That's all I got for you tonight. I hope you have a great night, my friend, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, George. Appreciate it, pal. Phone lines remain open at 403-240-4444 on this Wednesday night. Flames fall 2-1 in a shootout to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Say hello to Lucas on the phone lines. What's up, Lucas?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Just a quick question. Do you think we would have gotten that single point if Markstrom was in net?
I don't know. I honestly, like, I know what you're driving at. I can't answer that.
I feel like the first goal, like, probably could have saved. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, yeah, could have, but not a bad goal if you ask me.
No, but he made some dang good saves later on.
Oh, I mean, what he did in the rest of the first period, even though the Flames were the better team in the second period, he still made a number of really good ones, and then his third period was off the charts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, that's all. That thought.
All right, Lucas. I appreciate it, man. Look, I get what you're going for, and I get what Lucas is saying. But, I mean, Markstrom made 45 saves in that building just over a year ago. So I can't sit here and tell you that, well, I mean, if Markstrom starts, they don't win that game. I understand the question. I've seen it on the text line. Did Dan Vladar play great? You're damn right he did. That was best goaltending performance of the season for the Flames. I just don't know if you necessarily need to turn that into a cherry pick on Markstrom's game. I'm not going to. Because I think Markstrom's game has definitely started to get better as well. Okay, last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. Phone number is 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. Get your text in if you want to continue taking part in our Flames Talk post-game show as well. So phone lines remain open, but it is last call. Text line remains open as well. Let's head back to PPG Paints Arena right now. Get some more post-game reaction. Lots still to hear from. from. We've heard from Daryl Sutter. We've heard from Dan Vladar. Let's go back now and hear from Dylan Dubé. He scored goals in consecutive games, snapped a 16-game goalless drought on Monday. Now his goals in two straight. Here's Dylan post-game following tonight's 2-1 shootout loss.
Your thoughts? It was obviously a very tight game, very close game when you went down the wire. What did you think of tonight's performance?
I think they came out, had a really good first period. We bailed back in the second, third. It was a tight game, a good team, but Vladdy had an unbelievable game too. It was good to see that for him.
Yeah, that's big for your goaltender to come in. You hadn't had a start since November 10th and really had a big game for you guys.
Yeah, I did. He was awesome. He made a lot of big saves for us to be in that game, and he battled hard. It's awesome to see.
Describe the ebbs and flows of this game. I mean, obviously the push from you guys in the second, it seemed like a couple of shifts there that, you know, the one that led to your goal kind of maybe changed the momentum a little bit too for your side.
Yeah, they're a team that plays the right way. They play hard. They came with a good first, and we played the way we needed to in the second period. And the third period was a hard-working game by both teams, and that's the way it, you know, finished in a shootout. Both teams battled to the last shot there.
You talked about the goalie earlier, but you know he's hanging his head right now. But he stopped 97% of the saves.
Yeah,
pretty incredible effort.
Yeah, he's a competitor. He would have wanted to have a shutout tonight, but with all the saves that he had to make and how good he was, it was an incredible night by him. He was first star for sure.
How does a group sort of, as the game goes on and it's big save after big save, how do you feel the group kind of start to rally in that scenario?
Yeah, I guess knew we needed a better start to the second period. We knew they were going to come out playing really well, and it gives you momentum, and now you got to battle when the guy in the net's battling that hard, Vladdy's working that hard. It gives us a lot of motivation to be better for him.
That is Dylan Dubé postgame in Pittsburgh. He scores a goal as part of this 2-1 shootout loss. And another solid night. Maybe didn't start so good for Nikita Zadorov, but another solid night for Big Z, who finishes 1 second behind Noah Hanifin in terms of most ice time in this game tonight. Nikita Zadorov played 25 minutes and 57 seconds for the Flames this evening. And that was number three amongst all players in this game. So he played 25:57. Hannah Faden played 25:58. And Chris Letang played 26 minutes and 48 seconds. Another really solid night for Nikita Zadorov. Let's hear from him post-game as well.
You know, the ebbs and flows of it, but you get the point. Do you feel like you were in a position to maybe do more here tonight?
Well, I mean, we kind of came a little flat on the first period. You know, I think they had a better step than us at the start. We were just one step behind, didn't have our legs under us. Maybe that ceremonial to start kind of screwed us up a little bit. But then second period, we started playing our game, generated a lot of chances. Our forwards were right on their D. We had a great gaps, you know, so that was our game. Definitely third one, it was just the two good hockey teams playing kind of playoff hockey. So the goalies made a couple of big saves from both sides. And I mean, overtime and shootout, it's a skill game. You know, I feel like got to give credit to Vladdy today. He was phenomenal for us. So I think that's a good. We take that 1 point. You know, now we have two games left. Our goal is to get 4 points out of those two games.
How much pride do you take in when you've got a goaltender that's going like that? And I don't know if it's infectious or how it runs through your lineup, but when you and guys like Chris Tanev are throwing yourselves in front of shots constantly, he feels it. I imagine it's kind of momentum, right? Everybody's feeling it at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I was just in the big guy in the right lane, and the puck hits me. It's not like I'm throwing myself up there, you know. So it's definitely, I mean, we know they were shooting power play. You know, we need to eat some pucks over there to keep it out of the net. So Tanev has been doing that for years, you know. I'm not so. So I'm learning from him too.
You still enjoy those moments? I mean, you talked about two good teams kind of going at it there in the third.
Yeah, for sure. It's a 1-1 hockey game. It's a playoff hockey. I feel like today was the crowd was going. It was great atmosphere to play hockey. It was enjoyable for me, definitely. So, for sure, I take the it's fun. It is fun, definitely.
Obviously, you'd like a different outcome, but to see Malkin's kind of special night And that, like, was it sort of poetic in a way?
Well, I just didn't like you throw the stick on the stands. That's the one thing I didn't like.
Well, not going to have a chance to get redemption on him tossing the stick after the shootout win for the rest of the for the rest of the regular season, because the Flames and Penguins won't play again this year. But that's funny. I love that response from Nikita Zadorov. Nikita Zadorov post game, he plays 25-57, some huge blocks, as you heard him talk about. He blocked 8 shots for Zadorov tonight. He was an absolute warrior out there as well, as he continues to really solidify himself as one of the more important defensemen on this Flames team. More postgame as we continue along from PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, where the Flames fall 2-1 in a shootout to the Penguins. Our Alberta-made player of the game tonight, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery, was Blake Coleman. Just played in his 400th NHL game. Tonight was 4-0-1. Tonight, Coleman played 16 minutes and 37 seconds. 5 shots, 6 attempts, 1 hit. He went 0-for-1 in the faceoff dot. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. Next up for Calgary, they're into Washington on Friday afternoon. Note the start time, 11 a.m. Flames warm-up pregame show, noon puck drop right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. My name is Pat Steinberg, as we're underway on your Flames Talk postgame show, available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Still have time to jump in on the phone lines, but it is last call, so if you want to call, do so now, 403-240-4444. And text now as well. More time for your texts at 960-960. It's Pat Steinberg with you, coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Your final score from Pittsburgh. The Flames fall 2-1 in a shootout to the Penguins on this Wednesday evening as we continue along on your Flames Talk postgame show. My name is Pat Steinberg. Phone lines remain open at 403-240-4444. Back to your phone calls in just a minute. Text line remains open at 960-960. Back to your texts in just a minute. But first, our final trip back to PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh and our final look back inside the Flames locker room following a 2-1 shootout loss. Let's hear from Nazem Kadri as he spoke to the media following this one tonight.
Kind of describe this hockey game. Obviously, there was lots of chances kind of both mm-hmm. ways, but tense. And what did you see?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, obviously, they wanted to play hard. A little celebration before the game, so you could tell they came out hard, and it was a hard-fought game. It was pretty tight, some chances, but for the most part, goalies played great, and it was a good hockey game.
Just maybe from your vantage point, the night of Dan Vladar and just what he gave you. Mm-hmm.
Everything. Stable. He's always a guy we can count on. You know, our goalie tandem's, one of the best in the league for a reason, and Vladdy shows up and he battles and, he puts the work in.
As someone who's been in this league for a long time, I'm assuming, I know it's early and you just lost a point, but you gained a point mm-hmm. on a pretty special night for hockey. Mm-hmm. Is that not lost on you?
Yeah, of course. It's always, you understand the guys that play before you and what they contribute to the game, and you got to respect everything that they do. And, obviously Gino's had a hell of a career and he's been a superstar for a long time. So, I'm happy we were able to see it. It probably ended pretty well for him. But it was a good hockey game.
That's Nazem Kadri postgame in Pittsburgh. Let's go back to the text line now at 960-960. This says, Pat Mange is not going to score many shooting fluff from the outside. Would like to see him more to the net. I agree. I think Andrew needs to be around the net and closer to it. You know, he scored 35 last year. How many of those were from the muck area right in front of the net? How many of those were just those hard-working type goals? A lot of them. That's where Andrew does his best work. Needs to be fighting for that stuff a little bit more. And he just hasn't been around it anywhere near as much as he was last year, or anywhere near as much as we're used to, period, with that guy. Even not taking a career year last year into account. This reads, Tanev reminds me of Mr. Sock, the wrestler, someone who loves pain. Extend Big Z right effing now. I believe that he's talking about Mankind or Mick Foley. Dude Love, Cactus Jack, any of those four wrestling pseudonyms, but I believe that's who he's talking about. And yeah, it's kind of true. Like Mick Foley, just absolute. Lubo and I interviewed Mick Foley at the Hot Stove Lounge at the Dome. Geez, Lou, how long ago, if you're listening, how long ago was that? That was like, I want to say that was like 6 or 7 years ago. We interviewed Mick Foley at the Dome, and the guy could barely walk at this point in his career. He has put his body through so much. It was one of the most unforgettable interviews I've ever done. You know, Lou growing up as a wrestling fan, me growing up in a slightly different era wrestling fan, but it was so, so cool to do that interview. Yeah, like the guy put himself through so much in his wrestling career. Maybe not. I don't think Tanev enjoys it, and I don't think Tanev goes looking for it, but he will sacrifice and he'll do anything to help his team win a hockey game without question. This says Mangiapane falls over so often because he tries so hard and his center of gravity is low due to his size. How come no one complained last year? That comes from Peter in Tuscany. This says Mange needs to wake up, work harder, get to those tough spots on the ice and start contributing. This from Mandeep. Says Mandeep at BK Beaufort. I wasn't disappointed with the way they played tonight. I really liked the Weegs and Big Z pair. They were lights out, shutting down the big guns. It's a good thing I knew about that autocorrect, and I just briefly pre-read it. Mandeep, a little bit of a autocorrect problem there on shutting down the big guns. I'll let you be the judge as to what the autocorrect was. Vladar played unreal, and I like how he settled down. Need Mangiapane to get going, and he knows it. I feel like he will be fine, and Texters need to relax. Mange is great on his feet, especially in the corners. Huberto's playing much better and looks like he's finally having some fun. Need preseason Rooney to start going and playing how he knows how to. Overall, I'll take the point and keep up the great work. Patty, you're the best, my pal. Thank you, Mandeep. Good to hear from you, my friend. This says, Pat Vladar played amazing tonight. The problem with the Flames at this time is they don't have an identity. They're not an offensive team or a great defensive team. They're a team no one's really scared to play. And I do think that's something that they're still trying to evolve, kind of what their identity or their foundation is. I know what they want it to be. And it's going to be a team that is a checking hockey team, not even a good defensive team, just a tough team to play against when they don't have the puck, and then a possession team, shot volume team, grinding cycle team when they do have the puck. I think that's what their identity is going to be when they're at their best. But no, I don't think it's been there at a consistent level as of right now. This says, when does the best passer in franchise history start putting up points? 4-5 on 5 points in 15 games is brutal. I think Daryl's partially to blame too. Huberto needs to play with the two best shooters on this team. I think it's coming for Huberto. I'm a whole lot. I was never worried about it, but I'm even less worried about it. I was never worried about it, but I'm feeling even better or even more confident that it's going to come around and the points will start coming from Huberto. He's been really, really strong since coming back from the injury. And finally, from Adam, Pat, do you know if Tanev's ankle have bones left in them? Ankles, rather, have bones left in them. He's a shot-blocking machine. I don't know, man. Like, dude's ridiculous. Tyler in Bonesse says, good evening, Mr. Steinberg. Great game tonight. Win, lose, overtime, and shootouts. Life is good as long as the Flames are ahead of the Oilers in the standings. This from Colin. Pat, can we go through the year with Oliver and the possibility of without Oliver, rather, and with the possibility of Tanev getting injured again? Maybe rather than a forward, maybe they need another defenseman. I do. Derek and I talked about this on Wednesday afternoon's Flames Talk edition. And I think that is absolutely going to be a story that might pick up some steam. You know, if we're moving towards the trade deadline and Oliver Shillington's still not back with the team, I think that they're absolutely going to look for an everyday left shot defenseman. I do. And it might not even be at the trade deadline. You know, maybe it's even when the calendar turns to the new year. I just think that's absolutely going to be something that they look at doing, because I do believe they'd like a little bit more balance. And no disrespect to Dennis Gilbert, or even no disrespect to Michael Stone. Stone's another right shot. and has played with Tanev before, and they can play Uyghur and Tanev together as a pair of right shots. But I think ideally they would like to go organizationally, and the head coach would like to go left, right, left, right, left, right. So we'll see. I think it's something to keep an eye on as we continue through the year. Good stuff on the text line at 960-960. Back to the phone lines we go following a 2-1 shootout loss for the Flames to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's welcome Parsons to the Flames Talk postgame show. What's up, Parsons?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. That was actually a pretty enjoyable game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was I thought entertainment-wise, atmosphere-wise, all that type of stuff, it was really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I thought Vladar was fantastic. I'm in the camp that he definitely stole us a point because that third period, he was making, I don't know, 6-7 game-changing saves on that one. So, kudos to him. I hope Sutter rides the hot hand with him next game because I think he deserves it for sure.
And whether he decides to do that or not, I sure hope he gets one of the next two games, whether it's the game in Carolina or the game in Washington. I just think, you know, it's a back-to-back, and the way he just played, it just wouldn't make much sense not to play him again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely in that camp for sure. I just wanted to make a few comments. I thought that Dennis Gilbert, you know, out of all the guys I have been called up so far, I've been the most impressed with him. You know, I think he's got a really good first pass. He's hard on pucks. And, of course, you know, he obviously leads the team in fights, which isn't the end all be all, but I think this guy's really fighting for his spot. And I've really enjoyed what he's brought to the table. He keeps it simple, nothing flashy. I think he's eaten up. I don't think they're giving him tons of minutes, right? Like maybe.
They're not, and they, you know, he had a rough third period, and they kind of sat him down in the third period tonight.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe with a little bit more repetition, you know.
Well, here's the real question, Parse, because I don't even disagree with you. Of all the guys that have been recalled, I think Gilbert has been the best one. So here's the question. What do you do when Michael Stone's ready to return? He's on the trip, so he's close. Do you take Gilbert out, or do you keep Stone out?
Well, you got to put Stoner back in, obviously, and that's what they will do. But it's, you know, I'd love to see this guy get some more reps, to be honest with you, because, you know, for the majority of his play, I've really enjoyed it. I mean, you know, he has no big gaps or nothing like that. It's
Well, again, he had one tonight that got him sat down.
He did, but everyone does, though, right?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, you got to earn trust with this head coach for sure. But I mean, I do think they would like a guy that Gilbert played tonight 7.5 minutes. So, and that's partially because he got sat down in the third period. But I think they'd like to find a guy that they can play, you know, like 15 to 17 minutes on the third pairing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wish the guy the best. You know,
I do too, and it's been a good story. I'm not trying to take away from the story at all, Parse.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, he's scrappy, and I like that, and that brings a little bit of element to the team. Anderson, it looks like he's our new shootout specialist, eh?
Yeah, that's and he essentially did the same thing. Both games, and it worked both of them. Like patient, he feigns, and then that's impressive.
Well, it looked like he almost put it through like closed pads this time, so that was amazing. But out there, Tanev doing Tanev things. It was nice to see Dubes get another goal back to back. So it's nice to see him feeling a little bit better, you know, because honestly, we need the secondary scoring on this team. You know, there's been way too many games where it's been, you know, we've been lacking a goal here and there and some finish. And so it's nice. I mean, that being said, secondary scoring, you know, Mangiapane, I'm not sure. He's reminding me of the Mangiapane of the year before his breakout season. And I don't even – maybe he was even better then. I'm not sure what we need to do to get this guy going. But it's really important somehow we do, because his scoring is, you know, it's being felt, I think, you know, or the lack of
– lack of scoring.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sure how to – because, you know, we're setting him up with good line mates and everything, and – I'm not sure what's happening. He looks like a little bit disorientated out there. His forechecking is great still. He's doing that. He's working hard. It just seems like he's working harder, not smarter. And I'm not sure what's going on with him, man. But I hope something clicks soon, because
well, he never is gonna. He's never gonna cheat you on effort or anything like that.
No, for sure.
You know that about him. But yeah, it's. He's not in the hard spots anywhere near as consistently as we're used to. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And you know, I'm a big fan of his, so I do think – like, I don't think that I would consider Mangiapane to be a 30-goal, 35-goal scorer in this league, but I think he – from what I know about him and what I've watched and, you know, what some of the underlying numbers suggest, I think this is a guy that is good for in the 20 to 25 range each and every year. Well, but part of what he does, he scraps and claws, and we're just seeing him in the dirty areas a whole lot less, and that's where he does so much of his good work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree. And I think you nailed it on the head with the 20 to 25. I think that's, you know, he rode a wave last year, you know, coming out of the World Championships and everything. And, you know, it just didn't stop. But, you know, the second half of last season, you know, he obviously cooled down quite a bit. But he wasn't on that rampant pace, you know, pace that he was on before. But I hope he gets there, man. Like, we need him. We need him. Zadorov, obviously, I love watching the progress this guy makes. You know who he reminds me a little bit of, and not because there's the big Z and all that and the size, but Chara was kind of the same way too, like, you know, starting out in the Islanders and going to the Sens. Like, he was big, he was important, he, you know, he made plays, and it wasn't until a little bit later on, you know, Chara was, you know, his game evolved over time, and I hope the same thing for Zadorov, because, you know, it's kind of interesting watching this guy just evolve and carry the puck and be in the offensive zone like how he's doing. He's, you know, he doesn't peg himself to be one way or another. He's kind of all over the place, which is kind of interesting. So, question for you. Rooney, how do you feel like the ROI has been on him so far? Because I've enjoyed the first few games he was playing the season, and as of, I don't know, it just seems like forever. I'm not sure if – do you think the Flames are happy with the return on investment on this one?
Probably not yet. It's kind of dropped off a little bit after a solid training camp and preseason. You know, I think some of the details in the game have left a little bit to be desired of late for Rooney. You know, the checking game, he's not great in the face-off dot. So I think, yeah, I would suggest that they would want more from him right now. And that's not to say he's necessarily been bad, but, you know, I think they would like a little bit more from him, and I'm curious. I would imagine that just based on how the head coach has used him, and Richie skated on Wednesday morning in Pittsburgh, if Richie's ready to return, I would imagine Rooney's the guy that would come out again.
Well, because Rooney predominantly plays center, though, correct?
He does. Now, we did see him in the preseason play the wing, so he can do that. But, yes, he has predominantly been a center this year.
I haven't really seen anything that he's actually producing lately on the ice, which is kind of concerning. I feel like, I don't know if this is possible, Pat, but is it possible to perhaps put him on waivers and bring up Zeri? Because I think Zeri would bring a lot of life to, say, like a fourth line with like a Luch and a Trevor Lewis.
See, I'd rather not have him on a fourth line. I'd rather.
Well,
I'd
ra-
I'd rather have Zeri playing 22 minutes a game in Stockton, with the Wranglers. Even if he could add something to a fourth line, I'd rather not.
Yeah, but you can start off a guy like that. I mean, even Mangiapane had to start off on the fourth line, right?
In his first pro season, first full pro season, I personally disagree. I wouldn't do that. I'd keep him playing the big minutes with the Wranglers. I wouldn't myself.
I guess my only strategy there would be to bring youth, speed, to Luch and Lewis. And Luch loves playing with younger guys. Like, it helps him out. So, I don't know. Like, yeah, we can agree to disagree on that one, but Rooney's not bringing anything to the table for me at this point. And
I do think that they need more from him, and I think that his kind of game away from the puck needs to pick up. Parse, we gotta wrap up here.
All right, brother, you take care.
Good to hear from you, man. And our last call tonight goes to Piero. What's going on, Piero? Welcome to the Flames Talk post game.
Hey, Flash.
What's up?
Not much. I just got me by surprise.
Oh, no problem.
Big Flames fan since when I came to Canada in 2009 from Peru. I knew nothing about hockey or the NHL, and then I went to a Flames game back in 2015. I remember Dallas against the Flames. We lost in overtime, and yeah, since then I'm hooked. I've been every year I'm watching more and more, and now I watch not only the Flames but the whole league. So it's
That's super neat. So you say you're from Peru?
Yeah, very South neat. America.
Very neat.
yeah. Thanks. It's one of the things that I love about this city. I mean that the fact that having discover hockey and ice skating in general, because I learned like in 2017 to ice skate, and then it's an awesome sport. I recommend it to anybody that has never tried it. I'm not super coordinated, but you can get the hang of it. There's good instructors here in the city of Calgary and different other associations, and it's great.
That's awesome.
Going to the Flames, I'm super excited that the basically the trend of this team since basically Coach Sutter was hired again. Like he said, right, hardworking team and really good hockey players. So it's I said anybody. I'm pretty. I was pretty concerned when Goodrow left, but I think we're in a good shape. It's just it's a few guys like Manch and Dubé. He scored a couple goals recently, but I like the how is it going. I just wanted to say that, and I'm really. Really enjoying it, and also having also a Sportsnet 960, the fam, is really awesome to have a media a connection to the team, right? That you bring us with all the content. It's really first class. I like it, and everybody. I mean, I recommend going probably. Flames games can be some expensive, but the Wranglers are really, really good alternative that you can, if you want to see hockey and kind of see if you like it or not, I would recommend going to a Wranglers game for sure, because we now have that opportunity, and it's a really good team too.
Yeah, and they're back at it on Thursday night. So absolutely, that's cool, Piero. I appreciate the call tonight, man. Call back anytime and keep listening, man. That's awesome.
I will. Thank you so much, Pat.
Gracias, my friend.
Thank you.
That'll wrap us up on the phone lines this evening following a 2-1 shootout loss for the Flames against the Pittsburgh Penguins. How'd we get there? It's time for your final summary. First of all, thank you for the phone calls. Thank you for the text. Great stuff, as always, on the phone calls and text this evening. Not a whole lot to tell you about because there was not a lot of scoring in this game. Pittsburgh opened the scoring at 2:09 of the first period as Jan Ruda ripped home his third of the year. Ruda from Jeff Carter and Danton Heinen at 2:09, and it was 1-0 Pittsburgh after 20 minutes of play. In the second period, Dylan Dubé ties it for the Flames, his third of the year, redirecting home a goal at 8:37. Chris Tanev and Dennis Gilbert draw the assist for Gilbert, his first point as a member of the Flames, and it was 1-1 after 40 minutes of play. To the third period we go. Dan Vladar, who had been great all night long, was at his best in that third period. He was great in period number three. He made 14 stops on 14 shots. No scoring in the third. Penguins get a full 2-minute 4-on-3 power play in overtime. Don't score on it. So no scoring in overtime either. And nothing was decided through 65 minutes in a 1-1 tie. Shots after 65 minutes, 39-34 Pittsburgh. Both teams finish 0-for-3 on the power play. Off to a shootout we went. Second time in three games, the Flames have a game decided with penalty shots. Nazem Kadri misses. Rickard Rakell scores for Calgary and Pittsburgh. But then Jonathan Huberdeau scores for Calgary, and Sidney Crosby scores for Pittsburgh. Rasmus Anderson needs to score to keep the shootout alive. He does. Jake Guentzel with a chance to win it. He doesn't. So we go to an extra shot. Michael Backlund goes first, doesn't score on Tristan Jarry, and the puck on Evgeny Malkin's stick in the shootout to win it in his 1,001st NHL game. After being honored in a pregame ceremony, Malkin goes upstairs on the backhand and wins it for the Penguins 2-1 in a shootout. Your final score. Three stars in this game tonight. Number 3, Dan Vladar. Number 2, Tristan Jarry. And number 1, Evgeny Malkin. With the loss in a shootout, the Flames fall to 9-7-3 on the season. They're back in action Friday on the road in Washington, while Pittsburgh improves to 10-7-3. They're also back in action Friday on the road in Philadelphia. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, and for our outstanding producers, Azam Nanji and Cameron Hughes, my name is Pat Steinberg. As we wrap things up on your Flames Talk postgame show, which has been available and will be available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We've been coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Next up for Calgary is on Friday afternoon, Black Friday in the States, which means an afternoon game for the Flames. Matinee affair starts at noon Calgary time, which means our Flames warm-up pregame show goes at 11 a.m. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Wednesday night. We'll talk to you Thursday on Flames Talk. Final score from Pittsburgh tonight. Flames fall 2-1 in a shootout to the Penguins. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is CFAC 960 AM, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. A Rogers Sports and Media radio station. Flames Radio is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Thanks for listening. Sportsnet.ca/960 has games and times for the next Flames Radio broadcast. This is a copyright broadcast. No retransmission, streaming, recording, or copying of the broadcast in any way is allowed without the permission of the Calgary Flames Hockey Club and Sportsnet 960. Calgary's home for the Flames and the National Hockey League is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.